And joining us right now on the PMP Radio Network is Ross Dale. He has written a book which I actually sat at the beach 2 days and read. It's called Embedded. It's a perfect beach book, folks. Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist. And now, I of course, I envied everything that I read. Everybody that reads this probably does. But it's interesting to note that there are some reviews online, though, that from women that don't like your book too much at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Where have you seen these?
There's a woman named Amanda Rush who wrote an online review, said, I can't stress enough how awful this book is. I guess if you were a high school kid.
A friend of mine sent me one from somebody online in Texas or something. I wonder if that was the one. But it was great because she had this great line about how, you know, she felt the book should be burned and that I should be sent to rehab. And I was thinking that if I had put that on the back of the book, I probably would have sold more copies than I am.
That's true. And actually, she said, I like to talk about alcoholism. If anyone knows Ross Dale,
yeah,
please tell him to check himself into a rehab program.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. It's, there's a bit of course, you know, you don't write about the days you're not drinking. The days you're drinking are more fun to write about.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Drinking every day like that, but you know, a friend of mine said I shouldn't have, dedicated the book to my mother. I should have dedicated it to my liver.
Well, it turns out that it's a very entertaining book, and that's really the bottom line, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, your signal has gone down a little bit. If you can talk right into the phone, that'll probably be helpful.
Okay, how's that?
Yeah, a little bit better. It's a little bit low. Let's find out, first of all, a little bit about how you got into this in the first place. And then why did you decide to write the book? How far into it did you decide to write the book?
Well, it's funny. When I first, I guess the first part of the question was, how did I get into it? I was working over at the E! True Hollywood Story for the E! Channel. And I've been there for about 3 years, and it was, you know, about time to move on. And a friend of mine, actually an ex-girlfriend, was freelancing for the show over at Playboy TV called Sex Cetera, and when they had a position open, she thought I might like it. And somehow, it's weird, like psychologically, when a woman the respect says, oh, hey, you know, I think you could hang out and do this, you know, job and, you know, report on porn stars and, you know, all that kind of thing, you feel a little more apt to think that it's, you know, going to be okay than if some, you know, your like fat beer drinking friend says, oh, yeah, dude, come on, hang out with a bunch of naked chicks, it's going to be fun. You know, I probably would have taken the job if that was the case. But so anyway, I went in for the interview, and I thought, you know, Playboy TV, you hear that, you know, at the time I thought, oh, it's going to be like the magazine. You know, it's going to be beautiful women spread out on haystacks and pajama parties and dry martinis and things like that. But the show, Sex Cetera, which for people that don't know, it was an hour-long show. It was a little bit like 60 Minutes, a news magazine-style show with different hosts, and we reported on all things sexual, you know, from like, you know, sure, profiles on porn stars, but also, you know, swinger clubs, you know, bondage stories, the dominatrixes, you know, all kinds of oddball sexuality stuff, and sort of the stranger the better. So it was not the magazine. Much grittier, much, you know, much more real, you know, real people having real sex. It's a lot like HBO's Real Sex. We had a lot of similar stories, if anyone's seen that show. But anyway, so it was definitely a shock, and I wasn't really quite sure if I could handle it. But, you know, they were paying more money, and it was a chance to, you know, get another line on my resume, and it wasn't going to be forever, and that sort of thing. So, and as far as writing the book, you know, when I first took the job, I sort of thought, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a story here. I mean, this is definitely an odd circumstance to be in. It's definitely a strange job, a job that not everybody has. So I actually started keeping a journal, you know, about what was going on and what I was doing, what I was seeing. And so I thought there might be a book in it right away. But it wasn't until, I don't know, a couple of years in, like 2003, I think, and I took the job in 2000. So a couple of years into the job did I start thinking, oh, maybe here's the story, here's the angle for the book.
Now, you were kind of, I guess, just an average kid that had an average knowledge of things in the sexuality thing. A lot of these things were shocking to you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. In fact, I had less than average, I think. I mean, all my friends I talked to said that they had, you know, a little more working knowledge with pornography than I had at the time. I mean, this was fall 2000, and it was before the internet was really, you know, flying. So, like, I was, you know, not that many people were downloading porn on the internet in 2000. It just wasn't a as popular thing. I mean, when I first got my, I just got a dial-up connection recently before I got the job, you know, I was kind of new to email, you know, and I had not watched more than a few frames of a porno ever, you know, and like, you know, walking through a, you know, somebody's frat house in college or something, you know, it just wasn't, I went to prep school, actually outside of Boston, and, you know, we just certainly didn't have, you know, people had maybe a few stacks of Playboys here and there, but that was, you know, rare. So yeah, I knew nothing of it, you know, I really, you know, didn't know any, you know, this was before also Jenna Jameson was a household name, like pornography wasn't as big back then, I mean, sure, you know, but it wasn't in the mainstream society, you know, like nobody knew really who Jenna Jameson was at the time, and, or a few people did, but it wasn't, everywhere, and I certainly, you know, I knew nothing about it. I mean, I say in the book, you know, to me a gentleman's inspiration was, you know, a Victoria's Secret catalog, and maybe a swimsuit issue from Sports Illustrated, and maybe a copy of Playboy if I got up the nerve to buy one. So, yeah, it wasn't something I knew anything about.
Yeah, so when they were talking about web girls, you had no idea. You thought maybe it's a spider woman or something.
You know, and again, part of it, too, was just the time. You know, like, the like today, I mean, I think, you know, like, you go from, like, say, 2000, you know, the Internet just wasn't as big. Now, like, the beginning of Superbad, you know, the movie that did so well a year ago, whatever, you know, they're talking about what pornography website they're going to belong to that summer. And, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie is, like, these kids joking about what porn website they're going to join. And that just wasn't the case back in 2000.
Well, one of the people who is throughout the book, you mentioned Maggie, of course, who was your old girlfriend, and kind of you still dated her a little bit during the book. And,
yeah, we sort of got back together.
But one of the stars of the book has got to be Kyra Reid. Tell us a little bit about her.
She's you know, still a good friend. She's amazing.
She's still married to Doug?
No, they, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about what happened after the book was over, but they did, you know, they did break up. Their marriage is no longer together, but, and she's got, I always like to plug her website. She's got a great website, KyraReid.com, and it still is up and running and a great site, but she's amazing. I mean, she, you know, went to UCLA, was a theater major, you know, sharp, smart girl, you know, she stripped her way through UCLA, you know, she came from very modest, you know, means background, and, you know, didn't have a lot of, you know, money growing up, and didn't have, you know, family, and, they, you know, she needed to put herself through school, and, you know, stripping was a way to do it, and, you know, she was a theater major, she was trying to be an actress, and she wound up getting into, you know, answering an ad for, to be in a, one of these old Playboy movies, which was, you know, going to be a Skinamax, you know, movie, you know, these movies, these softcore movies that are late night on Cinemax that still, you know, still do air, and back then they were all shot on film, and you could actually get your SAG card that way. I mean, she kind of slowly got into those things, and, you know, ultimately wound up making like 50 of them, and became, you know, a pretty, you know, big name within that world. I mean, I certainly, you know, I'd seen a couple of these things here and there, but you know, certainly was aware of them, but didn't know, you know, like, we were in New York together on a shoot, and some guy, you know, recognized her, you know, in a bar. I mean, it happened several times, and she definitely has a big fan base from that, and also from her website as well. But it just seemed odd to me that people actually recognize people from these softcore movies out on the street. But she had a, you know, pretty big following for that in that softcore world. These are these softcore movies that, you know, there's no actual penetration. They wear these, like, you know, patches over their genitalia, and it's just kind of like grinding away. But it's very, you know, erotic, and especially for something that's going to be on cable TV.
Mm. Well, when she was a reporter when you first met her, working for the same show.
Yeah, she was one of the hosts of the show. We had, you know, there were six different stories in an hour show, and so we had at least six different hosts, and she was one of them.
And you guys became very friendly. One of the things that it comes through loud and clear in the book is that she would do anything for art, and for, you know, she was one of the first ones that just said, hey, you know, if you need me for this, I'll do that, I'll do this.
I mean, she was fearless. I mean, she's, you know, very, I mean, I always respected that about her. She was very, you know, strong-willed and strong, you know, just felt, you know, would put herself out there, and, you know, she was definitely amazing. I mean, she would, you know, like, you know, we were in Amsterdam, and she was, I needed to shoot a girl on the back of this boat at night when we went through, you know, the canals, and the girl who we had booked us from a modeling agency, local modeling agency, you know, didn't want to do it because it was kind of drizzling, and it was going to be a little cold, and, you know, and she's kind of hemming and hawing about going, you know, through our translator, and Kira's just like, you know, I'll do it, you know, because she saw I was in a fix, and she's like, oh, I'll do it, you know, and so, you know, it's one of the better moments I've had on these shoots with her, you know, getting naked in the back of the boat as we kind of drifted through the red light district, and she's, you know, putting on a big strip show in the back of the boat, and people are four or five deep on the sides of the red light district, just, you know, hooting and hollering, and it was a pretty amazing moment.
There's so much stuff in this book. It's a really entertaining book. It's called Embedded: Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist by Ross Dale, and it's put out by Source Books. Really good book. I like it. I thought it was entertaining, and it's quick reading. It's fun reading. And if you're a guy, you're going, wow, I want to be Ross Dale. And if you're a woman, you're probably saying, I don't know what you're saying. But one of the characters that comes in toward the end of the book was a girl you met that seemed high hopes for, Vanessa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, you know, I mean, it's funny. The really original titles of the book was Prep to Porn, you know, and it was because, you know, I'd gone to this prep school and I was sort of an unlikely kid in this porn world. And a part of it was like about not belonging in really either world, because I wasn't your typical prep school kid, and I certainly wasn't your typical, you know, porn person. But so she was sort of represented the whole, you know, prep world. I mean, she was, you know, a real person, but she, you know, she was top of her class at Brown and was, you know, studying art in Rome, and she'd gone to Brown with some of my best friends from high school's sisters, and we're all sort of friends, and we'd all get together on New Year's in New York, and you know, I read about our first kiss in the book was, you know, the Dakota, you know, the famous building and apartment building in New York where, you know, John Lennon was shot, and a friend of mine lived there, and, you know, we were, you know, having this kiss after watching the fireworks over Central Park. It was, you know, right out of like a Woody Allen movie, you know, it was amazing. But she, you know, I really, you know, I thought I dug her, I did dig her, she was really cool, smart, you know, intelligent, fun girl, and she ends up moving from Rome to Los Angeles to be closer to me as we, you know, got to be know each other more on different trips and stuff. So she eventually moved to Los Angeles, and you know, within like 3 weeks, I'm like breaking up with her because I'm freaking out. And you know, one of the crystal moments of the whole thing was, you know, I was you know, I had to go shoot this story on this club called the West Coast Gangbangers. So, you know, I went and shot three different gangbangs in one day in a house in Riverside, California, which is a suburb of L.A., you know, and I come back, and I can't see her. She's like this, you know, the juxtaposition of that was just too much. I just couldn't go from one, you know, from that scene to her, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just bad timing. I mean, you know, I wish that, you know, I had a shot with her when I wasn't doing that job, or at least certainly at that point in that job, because, you know, I wound up working for Playboy TV for 6 years, you know, and just the first year when I was writing about, that was sort of when those, you know, that I was most affected by it. I mean, you start to, it wears off, you know,
right,
after
yeah.
a while.
Now, what did Playboy have to say about this book?
You know, they didn't, they didn't really say much. I mean, I didn't, you know, consult them about it at all. I mean, but the PR person, you know, after it came out and when he read it, was like, oh, yeah, this sounds good. I mean, I was on, you know, they had me on one of their radio shows. And, I mean, once they read it, I think at first probably the PR guy was a little concerned about, oh, wait a minute, you know, is this some sort of expose? You know, like I'm going to be, you know, exposing that they've been making cigarettes all these years? I mean, what? I mean, there's nothing, you know, really terrible going on at Playboy. You know, there's nothing really to expose there. So, you know, once they read it and they saw, you know, that they came off in a good light, you know, it was no big deal. They had me on their radio shows and stuff.
Did Kara, Maggie, or Vanessa have anything to say about the book?
You know, Vanessa, I haven't spoken to in a long time. I mean, she's living overseas and married, and I don't know if she even knows about it, to be honest. You know, I, of course, changed her name and everything.
Yeah.
And Maggie, I'm still close with. She thinks the book's great, you know, and Kira, you know, likes reading it too. I mean, she was the only person I actually got to sign a release to be in the book, but because, you know, I talk about her a lot.
Use her name, your real name.
Yeah. All the names of the people, everybody that was on the everyone was the host of the show, I used their real name, and anybody that was, like a lead interview, like anybody that the story was about, you mm-hmm. know, that I mentioned in the book is their real name. Like, for instance, Ken Marcus, you know, we did a story on him. He's a, you know, photographer.
Right.
And so I used his real name because, you know, they can benefit from that. And also, mm-hmm. it just seemed weird to me to change the name. If anybody had seen the show, Sex Cetera, you could know, of course, who that was. I mean, and they're sort of in a public eye, and you know, and all the stuff's real. I mean, you know, everything happened, so it's, you know, they can't really be too upset about it. Most of the quotes are taken from, you know, transcripts and stuff that, you know, of interviews I did, and so.
So what is Rossdale doing nowadays?
What is Rossdale doing nowadays? Well, I went back to E, and I did some freelance, couple shows for them as an EP, 12 Sexiest Vegas Jobs, which is an hour show about, you know, different things going on in Vegas, and then I just did 12 Sexiest Wet and Wild Jobs, also for E. It's sort of funny because, you know, for a while I was a little worried about getting back into mainstream TV as a producer, but, you know, the times have changed. You know, now, you know, the Girls Next Door is a big hit, and you know, the Playboy name in 2000 was not as well accepted, it was not as loved as it is now, even. It had sort of a, you know, because of the success of this, you know, Girls Next Door show.
Right.
Which is interesting, you know, women love that show. Whenever I go back east, all my friends' wives, they all say how much they adore it. And, because it's not really about, you know, it's about, you know, you get to, you know, go shopping with these girls and, like, go get your nails done with the girls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for some reason women just love it. But, so E actually called me back, and because I still have some, you know, some friends from my old True Hollywood Story days, and, you know, and they want, you know, their programs to be sexy, and, you know, some of them, and, you know, they knew I was doing that. So
you were coming up with any of your own things? I know you did one on your own, co-created a show at Playboy.
Yeah, The Naked Happy Girls. That was a great, fun show. We, was on a photographer named Andrew Einhorn in New York, and he meets girls on the street, and, you know, in restaurants, cafes, whatever. And he goes back and shoots them, you know, he convinces them to model for him back at their apartments. And it's great because these girls are not, you know, have never been models before. You know, so it's kind of this kind of, you know, new experience for them. And he's very good with making them feel comfortable and just joking around with them. And he's, you know, he's got this amazing personality. But so that we shot that in New York back in like 2007. And they did another season in San Francisco that I didn't work on. I was just a consultant on because I was writing the books. But, yeah, I've got a few shows. You know, there's something I'm pitching to E! International right now that I shouldn't mention, really. But and then there's a show about, you know, there's a handful of reality shows like everybody else is pitching around.
Mm-hmm.
And then
are they all being pitched to E! Or other networks as well?
Well, I mean, there's one that we're I have most of my contacts are Playboy TV and E! So those are the kind of the two biggest places I deal with, but. There's this other one on flair bartending. Have you ever seen these flair bartenders, these guys that juggle these, I'm kind of fascinated by this because I did a story on them for E! Once. These guys that juggle these, you know, it's like cocktail. Like Tom
Cruise. Yeah, exactly, like the Tom Cruise film, yeah.
And they have a whole FBA, a flair bartending association. There's like a whole tour that they go on where there's like, you know, seven international competitions, seven domestic ones with, you know, like some of these prize money. You can win like 20 grand for winning. And basically, you do like a routine, just like the Olympics or something, like, you know, like a figure skating routine set to music, and you toss these bottles around, and you know, you get scored, and there's a winner, and it's like big in Russia, it's like big in, you know, Japan, and you know, it's got, and these guys are so intense about it. It's like, you know, I was talking to this one guy who's one of the best in the world from Argentina. This guy Christian Delpac, and he works at Harrah's Carnival Court, Harrah's Casino. The Carnival Court there, if you've ever been to that bar, but they just, he's amazing. I mean, the things they can do with the bottles and all the different, you know, and they're so intensive. I mean, they literally, they'll go work a shift for like 8 hours, whatever, at the bar, and then they'll go home and practice for another six or something. They'll practice all their moves, and they all have their own little, you know, practice bars set up at home in their garage with like rubber matting on the floor and the practice bottles. And anyway, it's just kind of fun, but I think somebody should do a reality show on this thing.
It sounds like you're going to do one.
Yeah, well, we're hoping. You know, we've got a pitch out there, and the Harrah's people are on board, and, you know, we just got to get someone to say yes, you know.
You know who might say yes to that? The Food Network.
Yeah, that's a good one, too, yep.
Because they love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's right up their alley. I mean, so we've got, you know, I got this friend of mine who's really big in reality, and his agents are taking around, so we'll see. You know, it's Los Angeles. You got to keep a bunch of things, you know. You bunch of irons in the fire. You got to keep a bunch of balls in the air, and you hope one of these things hits and move on with your life. You know.
Any chance of Embedded becoming a movie?
Well, you know, I'm certainly trying to do that. You know, I've been. That's one of the things I'm doing out here is trying to get an agent in town here to you know, believe in it enough to you know, shop it around. And because I'd actually like to see it as a movie, but I also like to see it as a TV show, too. In fact, in some ways it's more of a TV show than a movie because it's very episodic, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, this is a year of my life. Well, I worked there for 5 years. Sex Ed ran 80 episodes, and I was on from episode 13 through 80, and I produced over 100 of those stories. So there's a lot of material there to mine. And for a season and a half, I was even one of the hosts, and so there's a lot of stuff there to talk about. And I'd love to see it like on Showtime or something like that.
Well, I'm thinking about it, it's not that far away from Californication, actually.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny you say that. I like that show a lot, and it's like Californication meets Entourage with maybe a splash of Sex and the City or something.
Well, I think it's a possibility, and I like the book. I don't care what Amanda Rush had to say, but it's a good book. It's called Embedded Confessions of a TV Sex Journalist by Ross Dale, and it's available from Source Books. It's all over the place. You can go to Amazon or your local bookstore and pick up a copy. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.